I want to ask you to take the scriptures. We're turning to James chapter 4 and to the words of the verse 14 is where you'll find our text tonight. James 4 verse 14. The verse says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." There's a brief question just in the middle of the verse. It's a very vital question. It's a very vital inquiry for this time of crisis. It's a question we would want to encourage many people to consider just in these days. It's that question, what is your life? And for a few minutes this evening in the gospel service, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the life that you're living. If you think of this question, what is your life? That's a very good question at any time. But it's especially a good question to ask and to consider at this time of crisis. So I want you to ponder the question carefully. I want you to ask, what is life for you? What is your life all about at this time? What is your life taken up with? What is your life devoted to? What is your life focused upon? Can I remind you that life is a precious gift? It's something that comes from the hand of God. You remember Paul preaching on Mars Hill said that he giveth to all life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. It's good to remember that, men and women, that every breath that you breathe, the very life that you have, is something that has come to you from the hand of God. That's something that you should acknowledge and praise the Lord for. And remember that at very best, life is short. Our text reminds us of that fact. You're only here for a little time. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. So can I impress that upon your heart tonight? You don't have long upon this earth. That's something you need to take in. You need to take to heart. You need to be wise. You need to be careful how you use that little time that the Lord is pleased to give to you. So men and women, it's a very important thing to consider your life, especially in the fact, in the light of the fact that your life can end so quickly. And I want you to do that with me just for a short time this evening. A sad thing, let me highlight it, a sad reality, is that many people make mistakes about life. They make what can only be described as great mistakes about the purpose of life, about what life is really for, what life is really all about. And maybe you're one of those people. You have a wrong estimate of life. The reality tonight is, if you're honest, you're living life all wrong. So let me just for a few minutes list for you the main mistakes that people make about life. The first one that I'll mention, the first matter is, some people think that life is all about things. We often talk about the things of life. And many people, especially in this materialistic age in which we live, many people just live for things, for what they own, what they possess, what they can amass. And maybe you're like that. You think that life is all about obtaining and owning things. You think your outlook upon life is the more that you possess, the more possessions that a person has, then the more successful their life is. You judge the success of your own life, the success of the life of others, by what you have. It's a common mistake, men and women. But let me say to you that tonight, how wrong, how very wrong you are. Do you remember that the Saviour warned, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." The message is clear, that things, temporal possessions, are not the most important thing in life. They shouldn't have priority in your life. And yet so many people live as if there was nothing else to life other than the things that they have. You remember the rich young ruler the Savior said to him, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Let me make it clear. The Lord Jesus wasn't teaching that young man salvation by works, by charitable giving. What the Lord Jesus was doing that day was confronting that young man with a sin. Do you remember that he had boasted about the commandments, "All these have I kept from my youth"? Well, what the Lord Jesus showed him, revealed to him, by making that statement, that challenge to him, was that he couldn't even get past the first commandment, because money was his God. Money was his idol. And maybe you're just like that. William Jennings Bryan, a famous American politician, he said that those people who live for money, now just ponder that for a moment, maybe you're like that. Those people who live for money spend the first half of their life getting what they can from everybody else. And then they spend the second half of their life trying to keep everybody else from getting what they have. How true that is. It indicates that money can be a burden, men and women. And maybe that's a summary of your life, what Jennings Bryan said. Maybe that's a summary of your life so far. Well, if it is, let me ask you to consider this vital question. What's going to happen to all the things that you have, all the things that you possess? Just think of that for a few moments. And let me mention some answers given not by me, not by the church, not by the government, but answers that are given by God in His Word. What's going to happen to all the things that you possess? Well, for one thing, they will decay. They will wear out. They will wear away. Do you remember the Savior said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." The Savior is speaking about your treasures, about the things that you value. And He makes it clear how they're all going to end. They're going to end in dust or rust. And I pray that you'll see that tonight. One day everything that you own is just going to be rubbish or junk. Remember, men and women, things, the things of this world, they don't last forever. All of them, doesn't matter what it is, they're only temporal things. Something else that's going to happen to all that you possess is it's going to be left behind. You're not going to take them with you. Remember the old statement that there's no trailer on a hearse. Think of what Paul said to young Timothy. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. We're going to go out of the world the same way that we came in. Note, he uses the word nothing, or no thing. He uses it twice in the verse. How relevant that is in the light of the thing that we're considering just now. He makes it abundantly clear, men and women, there's not one thing that you have. There's not one thing that you own in this life that you're going to take with you whenever you die. There's one other answer I'll give to that question. What's going to happen to all the things that you have? And that answer is they're going to be destroyed. Remember that God once destroyed this world with water. That was the water of Noah's flood. But remember, there's a day coming when He will destroy this world again, this time by fire. Think of what Peter taught in his epistle. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Saying then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? So note again, he says all these things. The Bible, men and women, has so much to say about the things of life. And Peter's teaching us God once created the world, and there's a day that is coming when He's going to cremate this world and everything that is in it. So I want you to see, men and women, you need to see tonight, it's a mistake. It's a very serious mistake to live your life only for things. There's another mistake that a lot of people make about life. We're thinking of the question, what is your life? Is your life taken up with things? Well, let me ask you to consider something else. The second mistake that people make is that life is all about thrills. There's an old gospel hymn that says, as you hurry along in the pleasure-mad throng, Maybe those words describe you, the way you live, the company that you keep. It's just a pleasure mad throng. Life is all about pleasures, all about excitement. It's all about the fun and the thrills. For you, life is just one big party from beginning to end, and you never want the party to end. You live for the weekend. You live for the pub, the club, the drink, the dance, the drugs, the lusts of the flesh, the thrills of life. And yet you'd have to admit, if you're really honest tonight, that it doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter how often you do it, that you're never really happy. You're never really satisfied. There's still a void. There's still a great emptiness in your life. I wonder, are you like that tonight? You've tried everything. Everything that life, everything that the world has to offer. And then you did it more. You did it in a far greater measure. But it only brought you greater disappointment. Brought you greater emptiness. Let me tell you why that is, men and women. It's because the thrills of sin don't last. They're shallow. They're transient. They're fleeting. You think of what the Bible says of Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So just take that in tonight. Take those words to heart. Oh, there is pleasure in sin. That can't be denied, men and women. But it's only for a season. The pleasures of sin don't last. And remember, as you think of the pleasures and thrills of sin, there's a season of reaping as well as the season of sowing. If in your life you sow to the flesh and to the lust of the flesh, then in this life you will reap the consequences of that lifestyle. Remember what Paul said in the book of Galatians? He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So there's a clear message. There's a clear warning there for you. If you only live for the flesh, if you only live for sin, there's a harvest coming. And ultimately that harvest will be this. You will receive the penalty for your sin by going out into a lost eternity. You know, there's another lovely gospel hymn that says, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And how true that is, men and women. The reality, and I want to impress this upon your heart as clearly and as strongly as I can tonight. The reality is that real joy, real happiness, is only to be found in Christ. He's the one who alone gives joy unspeakable. Just think of that. Joy unspeakable. Joy that cannot be fully, completely, adequately described. The psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So just think of those things. Let me stress it. Fullness of joy. Isn't that what you're longing for tonight? Lasting pleasure. Well, it's only to be found in Christ. It's only to be found in being with Jesus Christ for all eternity. So I want to ask you tonight. I want to invite you. Will you come and receive him? Will you come and receive him today? Will you come and receive him as your Saviour? Ask him into your heart to be your Saviour and take your sins away. There's one final mistake that I'll mention to you this evening. And that is that some people think that life is all about theories. We've thought about things. We've thought about the thrills. There are those people, if you were to ask them, what is your life? Well, they would say it's all about theories. Their lives, the lives of many people are just taken up with theories. Their life is absorbed with the theories of men and all that they are. Theories like communism, atheism, environmentalism, all the isms, all the fads, all the philosophies of this evil day in which we live. They run after all the notions of men about health and wealth and the life hereafter. There's a great explosion today in what is called conspiracy theories. Who killed JFK? Who blew up the Twin Towers? Is Elvis Presley really dead? Did Neil Armstrong really stand on the moon? Conspiracy theories. They abound. Even in relation to the coronavirus pandemic that we're passing through at this particular time. Conspiracy theories. Just outside the city of Armagh, on the Moy Road, there's a factory there, McLaughlin and Harvey. They opened a new factory just a few years ago on that site. It's the site where the old Drumsill Hotel in the Armagh city used to stand. Back in the late 1990s, a man called Barry White, he was a preacher, we'll put that in inverted commas, a preacher from New Zealand. He held meetings in the old Drumsill Hotel. And in those meetings, one of the things that he said was, all the computers in the world will crash in the year 2000. The world will be plunged into chaos. He warned people to get ready. One of the things he told the people to do was that they needed to buy large amounts of toilet roll. Not an interesting thing, you might ask tonight, why? Well, he said it would be a good thing to barter with, good thing to bargain with when all of the economies of the world had crashed. Isn't it a sad thing when the preacher starts promoting theories, men and women? So I ask you tonight, is this what your life is all about? Is it taken up with theories, listening to, reading, studying, promoting, all sorts of theories? Let me tell you this evening, men and women. Theories are a weapon of the devil, a very dangerous weapon of the devil. Do you know what theories will do? They will take your soul to hell. They will damn your soul for all eternity. Can I tell you tonight, men and women, what you need most of all? What you need to listen to, what you need to devote your time to, is not theories, but it's truth. God's truth. And you'll only find God's truth in the Bible. Remember the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. This book, men and women, is not theory. It's not guesswork. It's not fiction. It's not make-believe. It is the truth. And it's the message of him who is the truth. Remember the Lord Jesus, that famous statement that he made when he was here on earth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the reason why you need to read the Bible. Let me encourage you, whoever you are tonight, one of the best things, one of the most important things that you can do is take time every day to regularly and carefully read the Word of God. I want to encourage you as well, you need to sit under the faithful preaching of the Gospel, the faithful preaching of the Word of God. This book, men and women, is the greatest book on earth. That's the reason why it's the most attacked book on earth. This book, the Bible, can do something that no other book can do. That's the reason why it's so precious. That's the reason why it's so valuable. You ask tonight, what can the Bible do that no other book in the world can do? It can do this, men and women. It can show you the way to heaven. It can tell you the way to experience God's so great salvation. Think of what Paul said to young Timothy, that the Bible, the Word of God, is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. You see, through the Bible, reading, studying, listening to the Bible, God can give to you the greatest knowledge. It can give to you the greatest education. You can get to know Christ. Just take that in. The one who is the Son of God. You can get to know him personally, intimately. You can get to know him savingly. You can know tonight that your sins are forgiven. You can have that assurance. John in his epistle said, these things are written that ye might know that ye have eternal life. You know, the question's often asked, how do you know? There's a whole list of those how do you know questions that people ask about the gospel and the things of God. How do you know there really was a person called Jesus Christ? How do you really know there is a hell? The one I want you to think about for a moment is, people ask, how do you really know that the Bible is true? You ever been asked that? Maybe there's someone listening to the broadcast this evening and that's the very question that's in your mind, that's upon your heart just at this moment. There's a simple answer to that question, men and women. If you want to know if anything is true, then what you need to do is put it to the test. And what you need to do is put the Bible to the test. And you can do that right now. You can do it this very night. You can do it wherever you are at this very moment. The Bible says, if you repent and believe the gospel, that's the first sermon the Lord Jesus ever preached when he was here upon this earth. So if you turn from your sins, if you trust Christ as your Savior, then your life will be changed. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be saved. You'll have peace in your life. So I put this challenge to you. If you really, truthfully, genuinely, sincerely want to know if the message of this book is true, that the message of the Bible is the truth of God, then that's what you need to do, my friend. Put the Bible to the test. Confess your sins. Turn from them. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you do that, what you will find is you'll be a new creature. Your life will be changed. Changed completely. And your life will be changed forever. So think of a question, men and women. What is your life? What is your life tonight? On this Sabbath evening, the 24th day of January, the year 2021, in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic with so much uncertainty about life, so much uncertainty about the future, maybe so much uncertainty about your welfare, your job, your business, your income. So you need to ask yourself this question. What is your life? Is it one of these things? Is this what your life is taken up with? With things? With thrills? With theories? If it is, I want to stress again, men and women, these are all a false estimate of what life is all about and how life should really be lived. If any one of these things is what you're living for, if any one of these things is what you're spending your time, your energy, your talents on, I want you to know and I want you to see tonight, that's the reason. That's the reason why your life is so empty. The reason why your life is so meaningless. Your life is so futile. Remember, men and women, you'll never find real peace. Never find real peace in this world or the real purpose for life upon this earth until you find it in Jesus Christ. And until you come to Jesus Christ and live your life for Him. And I want to urge you to do that. Do it this very Sabbath evening. Do it just now as we draw near the close of this gospel service. Remember, He is the life. Remember that verse I quoted earlier? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul said, summing up his own life on this earth, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what that means, men and women, is this, that to find real life, to find lasting, satisfying life, you need to find Christ. You need to find Him tonight as your Savior. You need to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And I want to do that, men and women. Just now, as we close the message, bring it to an end, I want to urge you with all my heart to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. What is your life? I pray the Lord will speak to you powerfully, even savingly, tonight through this great question from the Word of God. We're going to bow again just in prayer as we close the service. Ask the Lord to bless His word. Pray that the seed sown tonight will fall upon good ground. Father, thank You for this meeting. We thank You for the going forth of Your word. We remember, Father, You've promised that Your word will not return unto You void, but it will accomplish the thing whereto You've sent it. We rejoice in that promise. We take encouragement from it. We claim it tonight, Father. We plead it before Thee. We ask Thee to bless and use the word that has gone forth. And Lord, our prayer is that it will fall upon a good ground. We pray that You will bless it. We ask Thee, Father, put Your seal of blessing and approval upon it, even in the saving of precious souls. Lord, we're conscious of the spiritual dearth and barrenness of the days in which we live. We ask Thee, Father, make us fishers of men. Give to us again days of great soul winning. We remember the promise where you said that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Lord, we're praying that you'll be pleased, even through the service tonight, to bring souls to the Saviour. We commit ourselves into your hands now, asking you to abide with us in all we've yet to do today. And through this week, Father, use us all to your glory. And we pray that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.